Brother Alan Smith preaching October 19th, 2008, at Pierstown Holiness Church on prayer.
If I've got any kind of claim at all, I'm just a pretty good cookie monster. If you've got fresh cookies, I'm pretty good about taking care of your problems. But when God comes and helps you, then you've got help. And I pray that He'll help us tonight. If you would, with me in Luke chapter 18 in the first verse. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearieth me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll start at the first verse. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. Let's drop down to the third verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, and every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we ask, God, that by the power and strength of your might, Lord, you are here. Your words have free course in us tonight. Nothing can be done without you, but with you, all things are possible. Master, in the name of Jesus' blood, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just looking at this, and I'm not saying this is all-encompassing, but I'd say that prayer is made for salvation, it's made for petition, it's made for worship, and it's made for fellowship. And I find that as I study through the Bible about prayer. I find it in that form. And, you know, it's wonderful to just have fellowship with the Father. When you feel inside, you feel that hunger and desire to just get out and pray because you just want to get out and pray. Not because somebody's sick, not because you're sick, not because there's a need, but because you just want to pray. That fellowship, isn't that wonderful? You know, you got to have a closeness for that. You got to be close. I mean, you really do. A few months ago, I wound up with a cell phone bill that had 11,333 minutes on it. I thought, boy, I am glad that my little girl's friends have AT&T. Because I can't pay 40 cents a minute for that much of that. I'm glad they're AT&T. Well, she wanted to talk to them. And then I got to look, and then some of that was mine. And I was talking to this one and that one, and preacher here, and preacher there, and this and that. And, you know, we got off on a few subjects that we like to get off on, and it eats up a lot of time. And when you have a good fellowship with the Father, prayer eats up a lot of time. Yeah, Brother Allen just said, if you ain't spending a lot of time in prayer, there may be something wrong with your fellowship with the Father. I'm glad you're wise. But it draws you. Do you get what I'm saying? It draws you there because you want to talk to it. If you've got somebody that maybe you're a little bit not happy with, or they're a little bit not happy with you, it don't bother you too much if you don't get to talk to them that day. Am I right? Okay. Well, fellowship. And then worship. You want to worship God. There's times when you want to just throw them hands up and love Him and praise Him and thank Him. I've been noticing the last few days they flip-flop me to nights, and I've not begun to find the taste for it yet. It's kind of like coffee. Almost 50 years I've not found it, and I don't think I'm going to. But I notice how beautifully blue the sky has been since Friday when I got off work. It's been beautiful. The sky is beautiful blue, and I've been thanking Him for that. Just makes me want to praise Him. I was on a deer stand yesterday. Just got to praising and thanking God how beautiful it was. The trees are beginning to turn. Just worshiping for that. That's considered prayer. It's love. It's wonderful. You know, prayer don't have to be a regulation without joy, without happiness. It's great. It's wonderful to pray. It makes me happy to pray, Sister Ruth. It's an honor to pray. It is truly an honor to get to pray and love God. To love Him. For Him to hear you love Him. It is such an honor to pray and worship God. Thank you, Lord. Now, as I preach on prayer tonight, I think about something. I thought of this today in Sunday school when Brother Bob come across about giving. You know, there's two things that are real hard to preach to Pentecostals, and that's giving, offering, and fasting. And it's getting to where, Sister Golden, it's getting hard to preach to them about praying. And that's probably because the devil's fighting those three topics so hard. You know, if you get all those under control, you'll get a lot of freedom. I'm not saying that makes you saved, but I'm saying that gives you a lot of freedom. The more you pray, the more you're beholding His face, and the more you're transformed into His likeness. Oh, it's wonderful. I'm telling you, a Christian without prayer is like a fire without heat. He looks like a Christian. He knows the Word and He can show some light. But when you get up close to Him, you don't get too hot. Uh-oh. It's without prayer, a Christian's just cold, whether he looks hot or not. He's just cold. Because the spiritual man pulls you to prayer. And in the time we're living in, it's not just prayer for fellowship and worship. There's so much going on, we're driven to prayer. For petition. For petition. We have needs. I've got four lost children. It pulls me to prayer. I work with lost people. It pulls me to prayer. I hear the news. It pulls me to prayer. Petition. That Holy Ghost can do it, and if it's in you, it will pull you to prayer. The scientists have got smart enough to realize that the TV, they have trained the mind with the television. The marketing, they've decided that every 7 minutes the mind is going to reset itself. And they've done that with commercials. So that's why if you preach in a church with a lot of people sitting in front of that television, you've got about 7 minutes to preach. That's all they got. That's it. They don't have any more concentration. They may have DDT and all that after their name. They may have graduated from the best school in the nation, but their concentration levels have been set by the television. But when you learn to pray and wait before God, you learn to train your mind to where you have an attention span that reaches out there far enough to pick up things. Even the Islamic faith has learned this. They pray 5 times a day. There's a regulated time, and they have a discipline. Their brainwashing prayer and all their actions does work in the flesh. But we have prayer to one that's far above that. He works in the Spirit. We works in the Spirit. Thank God. You know, I'm going to get happy and lose my place. I've been trying to behave myself, but I'm going to. Think about it now. If you'll notice your Christian life, when you get away from the place where you're just praying 3 or 4 minutes or before you go to sleep or something like that, you can't keep your mind settled. It is just wandering and straying and this and that. And before long, you're worried, you're concerned. I like what Brother Bob said about that today. Made me think of Brother Nathan Fox. He's a comedian, whether he wants to be or not. But he said that he's a little boy in church, and this guy, he said he's missing a few cards out of a deck of 5. And he said that he got up during a service one night, and he said that prophesied that it was not going to rain in that town for 3.5 years. They said about 3 minutes after he sat down, thunder and lightning started. It come a rain so hard that they like not have got out of the church. And that weekend come a 100-year flood. And he said the next thing you remember to that man, he got up after preaching one night. The preacher preached real good. The people, he prayed real good. He said, don't tell me worry don't help. He said, almost everything I worry about doesn't happen. It helps. Think about that. I mean, you can get yourself tossed to and fro, but if you come back to the peace, he said, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon me and learn. For I am meek and lowly of heart. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. He'll come to you. You meet him in prayer, and he'll start taking that burden off of you. He'll start working on you. I mean, you can't make it happen. It's done through relationship. And in that relationship it comes. I know we get to the place that we've lost out on prayer a lot, but simply start making the steps to come back to it. To come back where prayer is a preeminent thing in your life. Where you're going down the road and involuntarily you're just talking a prayer out of your mouth. You see an ambulance going by and without a thought you're praying for somebody's help. You look around. God put it in my heart about planes, and almost always when I see the first plane of the day, I pray that the passengers be safe. I don't know if it's kept anybody, but I do know this. It's a place that I can come to say that God has given that in my heart to pray for these people. Brothers and sisters, God deals with us separately. We're a body of Christ. Brother Bob is the pastor here, but Brother Bob can't do the whole job. He needs you to pray. He needs you to help him spiritually. He needs you to help him break the principalities and powers and darkness that are around us. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And he that overcomes in prayer, he overcomes in the heavenlies. If somebody preaches out of the pulpit up here and you hear the spiritual words of God, it's because somebody broke the prince of the power of the air and it reached out into your heart. The man behind the pulpit could be as spiritual, full of life, full of the word of God as you can imagine. And if you're not in tune, you're not going to go far. It is personal. Each one of us need a prayer life. Desperately we need a prayer life. The devil will condemn you and condemn you and condemn you and drive you out of your prayer life because he erodes at your faith. But don't believe for a minute you got that prayer life out of your own merits. You got it because you began to love, praise, worship, and serve, and obey God. It began to work in you. And if you've lost it, simply begin to baby step your way back to God where you get that prayer life again. I'm wanting to run. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer. We have a mighty God. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It availeth much. And not up here as our president and began to name off what he's going to do to Israel. I'm talking about broke my heart. And I know he broke the heart of a lot of good Christian people. I begin to pray and fast. I begin to tell people. There's other people. Everybody begin to bind together. And within just a few months, God turned that man's heart. And he backed Israel the entire 2 terms that he was in there. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he'll turn it whithersoever he will. That buffalo moves from one way to the other because of the floods that come down through there and washes the banks out and the gravel bars out and changes its direction. God does that with the king's heart. He can reach in there and turn that man one way or another. The man didn't get saved. He's still a reprobate, but God did get his heart and turn him off of Israel because of the prayer of the saints of God. Thank you, Lord. A mighty God. A mighty God. A prayer-answering God. Peter and John walking up to the gate, beautiful, looked on that man that had been there. Jesus walked right by him and didn't heal him. But he asked them about alms. He says, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I unto thee. They had a prayer life, and inside of them the Spirit of God spoke to Peter and told him to say that, spoke through him, and that man got up on his feet and began to leap and go through the temple. He was a witness of the prayer inside of Peter. If you'll read back that prayer that they prayed in the gathering together in Acts, it was that they prayed and the place was shaken when they prayed. They were of one mind and one accord, but that word prayer there in the Greek is the same word for beg. When they got down and they begged God in unison together, they got to begging God that he would do something, that they'd overcome this persecution to the church, and that God would give them boldness to speak to the lost, and that he'd show signs and miracles. Then the place was shaken and they went everywhere with boldness. Hallelujah. Boldness. 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 Do you hear what I'm saying? They went with boldness. They had overcome in the heavenlies. They had broke down the principalities and powers that kept them afraid to say something. That kept them under silence. That kept them in a place where they thought that maybe they had embarrassed themselves, or they listened to the devil and decided it wasn't God trying to get them to do it. That'll happen to you when you don't pray. You get to where you don't know which voice is talking to you. Oh, I love preaching to y'all. I love preaching to you. Hallelujah. Oh, when you pray. At the age of 8, see, I shouldn't even be here. The best doctors that I was taken to, I was supposed to die. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead. They couldn't do nothing for me. They said, you're going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And mom and dad take me all over. People pray for me. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I lost consciousness of everything about 8:30 on a Wednesday night. And about 11:30 I could see and I could understand, but I couldn't talk. English. I was talking a lot, but it wasn't English. I went and woke mom and dad up. I think one of them was sick or something. I went and woke mom and dad up. Couldn't speak English. But they knew what I was saying, that it wasn't an earthly language. The next day, I had a terrible time speaking English. It tried to come out in tongues on my job. I laid in the bed. 3 o'clock in the morning, wide awake, speaking in tongues. Prayer. Mighty prayer. Mighty prayer. Mighty, mighty prayer. 24 years of prayer. Mighty prayer. You can pray. It's mighty prayer. Not because you pray, but because it's a mighty God you're praying to. God, a mighty God you're praying to. You're praying to a mighty God. One that's telling you to pray. One that's saying, ask me. Ask me and you shall receive. Listen to my voice when you get in my will and I tell you to pray for something. Not only will I do it, but I'll bless you in the process of doing it. Mighty God, mighty prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's mighty prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, Joshua, he lifted up them arms. He prayed, and the earth and the moon stood still for the period of a night and a day. And he beat the enemy. Think about it. The world stopped moving. You know, I've had a cold before and wonder if God had healed me. And then I get to thinking, you know what? He can. And I'll ask. And if he don't, I'm all right. Do you get it? I'm all right. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to take his Bible and get him in a headlock. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not going to break this out. It says, I shall be healed, and you're a liar if it doesn't happen. Woo! Do you hear? I've heard that a lot. Haven't you? I want you to think about something. First of all, any man that'll act like that is out of the person of Christ Jesus and cannot be heard of God. Therefore, he's not asked God anything. He's asking so he consume it upon his own lust. When a man gets to say and using Scripture to try to influence and force God, it's the wrong nature. Therefore, it is impossible for God to hear him. God does not hear that prideful, satanic man. He hears that humble nature of Christ. When we come to him humbly in prayer, petition is humble, humble in prayer. It is very humble when we come to him in petition. We're looking for him to do something, whether it be just to guide us through the day's work, whether it be to heal our bodies in a death situation, or whether it be to change the course of our nation or of our world. He has to hear us in the person of Christ Jesus, and he said to us that he was meek and lowly of heart. At no time did he use the Scripture to try to influence his Father, but he revealed to his Father through the Scripture and through the words that he said. He humbly, look at this picture on the wall. Does he look like he's yelling at God? Does he look like he's commanding God? But he is there in depiction of Gethsemane on his knees, bowed down by a rock. So much stress, so much pressure that his capillaries broke and the sweat became as great drops of blood. He began to pray to God. He began to petition God. He began to seek God. He began to call on God. He began to call on the Father. He began to call in a relationship that you and I have never known. And he still is on his knees. So much for the new age, new wave. Say it and let it be so. Oh, what about Isaiah 45:11? Command ye me. Number one, that's not a prayer. Number two, in that context which it's in, he's speaking to him and telling him to speak in the first person. And that means he's telling him to speak as if God had spoken in him. We have no right to try to command God. And the Scripture does not teach that. We have rights as children of God through the humbleness and obedience of Christ. Oh, it's wonderful. We come to the throne of God with boldness, not the boldness of the flesh, but the boldness that we know Christ is our justification. Christ is our glorification. Christ is our intercession. Christ is our entry into God. Christ is the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is the one that birthed me anew. Christ is the person I'm coming and asking in. Christ is the one that done the work. Christ is all in all. Jesus Christ's blood set me free, and that's why I've got boldness to come and ask. Ask him. Come and ask him for freedom. Come and ask him for peace. Come and ask him for strength. Hallelujah. I haven't told it this week, so I'm going to tell it here. Years ago, when I was driving, delivering Kimberling City, I went into the Alzheimer's unit, and they were feeding these people stuff that I wouldn't feed my dog. And they have Alzheimer's. They don't know what they're eating. I bawled like a baby. It stunk so bad in there. That food looked so nasty. And I knew them patients didn't know what they was getting. I bawled like a baby off that hill. I said in my mind, God, I'll fast until I know you've heard me. And I no more got that out of my mouth. And I heard his voice saying, it's all right. You don't have to. I left. It was a month before I got to go back. But when I did get to go back, there was little pieces of chocolate cake on little flour-cut napkins with powdered sugar sprinkled on them, and applesauce, and a piece of chicken, and I believe there was some potatoes and gravy and stuff like that, you know, things that don't interest me too much. But it was there. And I walked in, I looked around, and you know how God is. He had me kind of blinded for a moment. I looked around, I've done my stuff. I went out that back door. He kind of moved that out of the way, and he's like, "What do you think?" I started bawling and worshiping God. He turned that place. He turned that place. That's petition prayer. That's petition prayer to a mighty God. To a mighty God. He went to a bean counter and he broke him down. He said, "You are going to feed these people." And he went to an administrator and he said, "You are going to feed these people. You're going to feed them good or I'm going to get rid of you." You can guarantee that God changed that situation. Oh, thank God. He answers petitions in prayer. Glory to God. He is a petition answering God. A petition answering God. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. The widow woman just kept a knocking. Don't you know her knuckles were bloody? She kept asking. How they got to the place she couldn't harden it. Well, it's a sister. She kept seeking a way to provoke this man into action. Jesus called that faith. In New Agers, they want to say, you don't believe if you ask more than once. Or you don't believe if the man of God says it's going to happen. I don't care who says it's going to happen. Until God says it's going to happen, nothing's going to happen. But when He says it's going to happen, nothing's going to keep it from happening. Glory. Somebody told me one time, they said, if you prophesy, they've got to obey or it won't happen. I said, I'll tell you something. Unless God told you to put a condition on it, if God said it's going to happen, the earth could pass away, but it'll still happen. Every person on this earth could disagree, but it'll still happen. Unless God put a condition on it, there is no condition. Well, what if they don't believe it, brother? It don't matter. He's still faithful. If He said it, it will happen. It will happen. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God, as Brother Bob was preaching to us today, who made everything out of nothing. When you look at the stars, they come from nothing at all, and God made it. And you have the right to pray to Him. You have the right to talk to Him. You have the right to love Him. You have the heart to love Him. And if you'll come and get that relationship stirred up, get that relationship going, then He'll begin to get to a place you want to. You'll want to so bad you can't already take a phone call because you don't want to. Let me say that again. You can get so close in love, fellowship, worship of prayer that you don't want to take a phone call. You just don't. You hear that ring, you think, "Run." The phone. And you just keep praying. And I mean, you get that place where the 8th or 10th time you think, "Well, maybe somebody hurt." You know what? Then you go ahead and answer. But brothers and sisters, a relationship brings that. A relationship. A little bit more tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, I begin to pray most of the time in the natural. Every once in a while, he whoops, just boom. It's like, oh, Holy Ghost. But most of the time, it's in the natural. And as a matter of fact, a lot of the great things that I've seen, I didn't even know the Holy Ghost had come by. But when I look at it, I think He come by because I didn't do that. So I'm not putting down the little whispered prayer of a word or two. No way. I'm not putting down the prayer where you didn't get through. No way. I'm not putting down anybody's immaturity or feels like they're over mature. But I'm saying this. If anything happens, it's because you're in the vine. And He did the work. With a word, as Dad said today, believe it's today, you was jackknifed and you said, "Lord, help me." And it come out of it. I come off a hill and a set of pups and they were skidding into a jackknife, which you don't recover from. And I yelled, "Jesus, When I said Jesus, that thing straightened like a string and down that nine-mile whip. It was Jesus done that. Jesus does that. He is the answer. He is our help. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Thank God. He's a mighty God. He's a petition answering God. You can go to Him with what you need, and He'll answer when you come to Him in the right way. We come and ask in so many misplaced ways, but I'm not preaching this message to go into these. I'm preaching this to lead you to this. Prayer in no way, no kin, no shape, no form is self-centered. None. I got a couple amens. Three. Can we get four? Can we get five? If you're praying for you and your own desire, just when you go by Walmart next time, get you one of them jump ropes Daddy's talking about, because it'd be a lot better for you to do some skipping. A lot better. You'd be a lot better off getting in shape than getting out of shape like that. So, you pray in the unction of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm talking about. We get little attitudes. You know, the major thing happens in prayer is the one that's praying. It said that the pulling down of the strongholds. Before you pull the stronghold down that's trying to keep lost people out of this church, you're going to have to pull the stronghold down that's keeping lost people from listening to your witness. Uh-oh. Oh, the check lines got typed in. Things happen. But all you can do is go on and live a witness in front of them. And through time, the truth will tell. It may take a long time, but the truth will tell. Prayer affects the person praying so greatly. You can get down and pray and you got just a little bit of an attitude. And if you get through to the Holy Ghost, that attitude is wiped out. You can get down mad and get up glad. You can get down sad and come up happy. You can get down sad and mad and get up madder and sadder. But that's up to you. I love you, church. I love you, church. And it pulls down everything that exalted its knowledge against God. You ever have questions in your mind? You ever have people come around you and begin to say things that you really couldn't answer very well? But then after prayer and time, you get the perfect answer. It breaks that down. That's what prayer does. You're able to reach out to your neighbor, to the one you work with, to your loved ones, and you're able to say words that the adversary cannot gainsay, nor, what does it say, resist. In other words, when you say that word, it is just burning and burning and burning in their heart. It just keeps working and digging. How forcible are right words, is what Job said. But he's saying it to his friends who were using right words on the wrong person. He said to them, how forcible are your words, are right words? But what does your arguing reprove? They were trying to accuse him of sin that he had not done. They were talking right things. They were saying right things. But they were using them on the wrong person. But when you use the right words on the right person, it is just pow. God Almighty's words. You get that in prayer. You get that in prayer. Have you ever gone and talked to somebody, didn't realize you'd done a thing, and find out months, weeks, years later, what you said struck their heart? God gives you those words, and prayer does that. One of the old great preachers said, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. And I believe that with everything that's in me. God does nothing but an answer to prayer. Now, in most parts of the Bible, when it talks about prayer, it's petition. Sometimes it talks about worship. But there are some times that I find very interesting. It means nothing else. That Greek word, other parts of prayer come out of this Greek word. But this Greek word, it means beg. It doesn't mean anything else but beg. Beseech and beg. And listen to the place where Jesus used it. He said, talking to Peter in Luke 22, 32, he said that I have prayed that your faith fail not. I have begged that your faith fail not. Now, he was dealing about Peter's soul, that his faith would fail not. He did not just say, Father, don't let his faith fail. But he got down and he begged God that Peter's faith fail not. Why? Because Peter was going to be the pillar of the Jewish dispensation of Christianity. He was going to be a mighty apostle, but Jesus had to beg God, not just ask God, not petition God, not beseech God, but he had to beg God. If Jesus had to beg God, who am I to think that I don't have to? Hallelujah. I still feel like one. Hallelujah. Thank God. Again, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul, talking to him in 3 and 10, he said, night and day I pray exceedingly that I'm able to come and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That word means beg. Night and day he begs that he is able to come and perfect that which is lacking in the Thessalonians. Again, in Matthew 9 and 38, it says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. Beg, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest, not just ask, not worship, not just say, would you save me, but to beg. When Zion travails, babes are born into the kingdom. In intercession, it's not just a lay me down, go to sleep prayer. It's when you yourself feel yourself in the place of that person that's praying, and you have that burden for them to be so healed, so filled, so saved, that you yourself are broken to have it to happen. Intercession. We need intercessors desperately. Intercessors break down the powers and principalities of the darkness. And there's intercessors in this room right here. You're an intercessor. You're an intercessor. God's dealing with your heart. You feel it swelling up in it. You know you're an intercessor. God needs you to pray. 6 billion people need you to pray. Here at Pierstown Church, over 6 billion people need you to pray. Hallelujah. If Brother Lewell had read the 13th verse, it says that you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its what? Savor. Savor. Yes, salt is a preservative, but that's not how Jesus was using it. A savor, a seasoning. We few handful here at the Pierstown Church, I'm not saying anybody else is not saved, please. But I'm talking about us. We're not on TV. We're not on satellite. I'm talking about right here. We are the salt of the earth. And if we stay fresh, pure, dry, real, dry from the world's water of sin, but all full of the water of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If we keep that savor, you know, you can take just a few grains. I had high blood pressure when I was younger, teenage. You remember I was about this big around. You remember. I was. You surely remember. But Billy may not remember, but I know. I had high blood pressure. And that doctor put me on a diet of no salt, no fried foods. To me, that meant sugar cookies only. Well, it did. I mean, what else is there? If it ain't fried, and if it's not got salt on it, what else is there? I mean, anything that's greed, you feed it to what I eat. I don't eat it. I'm weird. Think about it for a minute, church. Took me off that salt. Mama would steam hamburgers. And I'd get that hamburger. And I'd taste it and be like, oh. I got to where I could taste the salt and cheese. They're pretty good about watching, so I'd rub my finger on a little dab. There'd be 15 crystals of salt. Do like that one. Oh, I could taste that salt. It didn't take much, just a few little crystals. Just a little bit. But in time, I got that blood pressure down. I've learned that, yeah, you're going to have a stroke if you let that stay up. And I began to listen, okay? But when I listened to that and I got all that blood pressure taken care of, I got to where I could eat. He released me. I could eat fried foods and salt. Well, I got to the point that I just wasn't going to eat no whole bunch of salt. And so I began to eat fried foods and all these other kind of things. Got right back and not had any problems any since, thank God. But what happened was, is I went through a period of time when there was absolutely no salt in what was cooked, nor seasoned on the plate. And it was so bland. It was so bland. And this world is so bland without the church. It's just not hardly fitting to put in your mouth. And you as an intercessor are the salt of the earth. You are savor to God. Oh, hallelujah. He can feel that prayer. He can taste it in his mouth. He can feel it. It's a preservative. Yes, it does heal and keep. But he said savor. It gives that taste. Praise God. It makes it taste so good. Add just a little bit of salt to your biscuits. Man, it's good. You eat bread without salt in it. It's the bread of affliction now. It really is. It's bad. Salt. It's a savor. It's so good. It's so wonderful. And that's what Jesus is talking about. If it's lost its savor, just throw it out and walk on top of it. You're an intercessor, and God wants you to intercess. You don't know how many billions of people are hanging in the balance, and the intercessor is the avenue where the Word of God can break through to them, because God uses that intercessor to break through by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. I say it again, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said Holy Spirit at the nursing home today, and after it I got to thinking I should have expounded just a little bit. When you get saved, you get breathed on by the Holy Ghost, and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. But when you get yourself dumped head and ears under the Holy Ghost, you come up and you've got that ghost walking inside of you. There's another person controlling that life. Hallelujah. The salt of the earth. Thank you. Good night, I feel like right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He told them in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed, watch ye and pray that ye enter not into temptation. If you've got a prayer life, you overcome a lot of temptation that you would have had. If you fall from grace, it'll be by temptation. It may be by this, that, or the other temptation, but it's because your heart's been tempted. Look at the progression of things in James chapter 1. It's very clear that first of all, you're tempted and drawn away of your own lust. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it's death. Death. It's death. Jesus made it clear in the law it was death when you done it with your body and your hands. But Jesus made it clear it's dead when it's death when it appears in your heart long before you do it in your hands. Long before you do it in your body. You're already dead. Oh man, I got in trouble one time with people. I don't think God would be mad. Not for this, he wouldn't. But I preached that and I said, a lot of these once sinners, always sinners, they think I'm crazy for saying, if you sin, you're going to hell, no whether you were saved before or not. They said, well, that means if you just do a little sin and you die, you go to hell. I said, yeah, that's what that means. That's exactly what that means. Oh, that can't be right. How can you keep from sinning? Well, first of all, walk in the Spirit. If that's born of God cannot sin, and if you'll walk in that's born of God, you will not sin. But we do not always walk in that, and we do fail in sin. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Paul said, the things I would, I do not. The things I would not, that I do. In other words, there's a warfare. But he thanked God there was another man inside of him fighting and warring against the dead man to bring life. So when we war against these things and work against these things, the power of prayer does a shelter inside of us for the temple of the Holy Ghost, and there's no unclean thing going to come in that temple. He'll warn you. You know, Brother Bob, I can tell by the first few lyrics most of the time of whether I should change the station or not. Traveling like I do, I hit that seat button and it'll stop. And you'll have, you know, right now everybody's selling a candidate. You know, before that, everybody in the world's trying to get you a loan on the house. You got any equity? Oh yeah, $12. We can get you a new loan. You need that 12 bucks. You might want to go buy McDonald's this afternoon. We'll redo your house loan, $12. You know, all of that. That's on. And then pretty soon there'll be a few lyrics strike. I had someone come to the church over there, and the church over there flipping, much like the worship here. And they said, oh, this reminds me of country music. I used to go to the bars, and they had this kind of music in there. That I want you to change your music. I said, well, you know, what is it you want changed to? Well, we want to go contemporary. What do you mean contemporary? They began to name off some singers, you know. And I said, well, it's like this. Bluegrass music, country music, and hymnal music are tied in. And when that music of the church come out of these mountains, it had a country or a bluegrass sound to it, and those types of entertainment come out of people that come out of the church. They stole that type of worship out of the church, those lyrics out of the church. They stole that five-string banjo out of the church. They stole that flat-top guitar out of the church. They stole that type of sound from the church, and they went and sold it to the world with the world's words and lyrics. But that rock and roll, you want to know where it's burst at? That come out of the slums. Rock and roll is a filth slang term. The father of rock and roll, Little Richard, said that it's the devil's music and always will be, and he's glad of it. You're not going to bring the devil's worship into the house of God and expect that sweet Holy Spirit to stay there. It ain't going to happen. You bring that kind of filth up here, it won't be long. You'll have tares all in this place, and they'll fight and fight and fight. And the next chance they get, they'll oust everybody that's trying to hold a straight line. You're better off with a handful, and it be right, than a mouthful, and it be wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, five Christians are a lot easier to pastor than 10,000 tares. I should have said that. Yes, sir. It's just the truth. You get you a billy goat in here, and that thing will say, amen. Amen. But when he goes out that door, his horns will bud as he goes out. He'll fight against one another. He'll try to get you stirred up against one another. He'll try to get you against the pastor and the teacher and the song leader. He'll butt, he'll back. He'll carry on. That's because he's a goat. That's why he's a goat. Now, I'm preaching like the pastor now. No, not like you, but like I do when I was a pastor. I just have to get right down there and tell you that it's wrong. One of the great Pentecost pastors of the 19th century had a church just outside of Dallas, Texas, and Clendenin asked him, said, what is the secret of having such a marvelous church? I mean, he was amazed. I mean, this bunch, I mean, just as good a crowd on Sunday night as was Sunday morning, on Wednesday night. When it comes to prayer, it's hard to find a place, he said. He said the key is knowing who not to let stay. That goes against the flesh. This love thing is killing the church because it's not love. It's not God. God is love. And if we find a definition for God, it's right here in the Bible. I done got preaching like I was at home. It's the truth. Love. There's some agents of darkness going to come in here and try to cause problems. And how they get a foothold and a stronghold is because somewhere somebody didn't stay with the principles and the oracles of God. Do what this Bible says, even if you think it's going to offend somebody, because Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And if they get offended at God's word, it's because they don't love God's law. Jesus. And you're never going to help them to be saved until they realize that themselves, that they're the enemies of God. You're not being nice to people by allowing them to do what's contrary of God and act like they're okay. You're not loving them. You're loving them with compassion and leadership of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about Brother Gene McNutt one time. How long have I been preaching? Somebody's calling, get a stop. Brother Gene McNutt one time was talking about his great aunt. Said she had holy indignation. And he said, after I got saved, I found out it was just indignation. There wasn't nothing holy about it. But said he was riding in the back seat of a car, and he grew up down around Tilly. You may know his dad, McNutt. I can't think of his first name now, but down from your country. And said that she come by, and there's one of them girls walking down the side of the street in Russellville in a miniskirt. And said, she said, oh, if I had a pot of scalding water, I'd throw it in them naked legs. I'd teach her. Went to church every Sunday. Now that's the wrong attitude. If they come in here without enough clothes on, just don't be looking. Okay? Just don't be looking. Just get yourself in the spirit. Get up here and pray. And I promise you, when this in here gets right, this out here will get right. It really will. I mean, honest. I mean, when you got a man and you go visit him, he's got his shirt off when you show up. He said, "Oh, let me get my shirt off." He knew there's something wrong. You got a woman and she's doing this all the time, pulling that thing down. You know, a skirt that just about have to tear the top off of it to get her reach her knees. You know, it's because she's convicted. She knows it's wrong. She'll argue with you, tell you you're wrong and all that. You just leave it alone. Just let the Holy Ghost. But when He moves, don't fail to say something. Let it come flowing through. In that river is life. Whithersoever the river shall run, shall I live. And if you're praying in the Holy Ghost, that river's coming. That's a new channel. That river's coming through the Holy Ghost. What I want to finish with tonight is that God gave the most powerful exhortation toward prayer when it's dealing with souls. So when we get to talking about somebody's soul, whether it's to be saved, or whether it is to be brought on fire again for God, brought out of backsliddenness, it takes some begging before God. Just saying, save my boy, won't work. You've got to get out and intercess and travail for that soul. You've got to get out and beg God for that soul. Paul begged God for those souls in Thessalonians just so they could be perfected, because he knew if they'd be perfected, not only would they make it all the way, but they'd take others with him. They'd take more people with him. God knew that. It takes prayer. It takes an earnest, fervent, effectual prayer to get people saved. You've got to birth them into the kingdom spiritually. When you hear the Spirit of God reaching down into your heart, you let it reach out into their heart. There's something real about prayer. Jesus on the Mount Transfiguration, he began to pray and his countenance was changed. In other words, he began to look different and he became white, his raiment whiter than any fuller could white him. Haven't you prayed until you knew that your whole countenance was lightened up? Haven't you prayed until the Holy Ghost begins to move inside of you and you knew you were stepping over into the spirit world? You knew you were moving deeper. Well, Jesus prayed until heaven began to open up and he began to be accepted into the glorious place, but you'd still be seen by earthly eyes. Prayer, spiritual prayer. Go there. Spiritual prayer. It reaches out. A woman one time, I was mowing out in front of the church and she stopped, got out of the vehicle, come over. When's your service time? Oh, it's 10 o'clock on Sunday, 6 on Sunday night, and then 7 on Wednesday night. Well, when's your worship service? I said, well, just about time we get to it. It'll be about that time. No, when do you get out of Sunday school? Oh, they call them up about 11 o'clock, something like that. But you need to come to Sunday school. I do usually. Yeah, I've been reading these signs. She said, I knew you was like that. She said, I keep feeling this unction to come in here. I said, well, I wish you'd come. But if you want, I'll call some folks and we'll go in right now. No, I'll come to church sometime. I didn't see her. I saw her at Walmart one day, and I began to talk to her. I said, why don't you come to church? I keep feeling every time I come by there, hard to come in. I said, well, I wish you would come in. I wish you would come in. There's something, reach out to her heart and get her. Get her heart. Well, after I've been gone, Brother Bobby was telling me about a woman come by and got saved. And she said, I don't know who that man was, but I knew. He said, I knew. She said, I knew that God was pulling on me when I talked to him. And, well, he's gone. He here and there preaching, doing this. And she stayed for a long time. But there's something to reach out to her. Do you get what I'm saying? There's something to reach out. They'll make fun of you in the workplace. They'll run you down, call you names. But you let their baby get in and see you. And when they see you, they'll begin to ask you to pray. They might mock you now, but they'll beg you later. Because you got a hold of something they need desperately. In their heart, Sister Golden, man knows. Man knows someone that's got a hold of God. They know they want them to pray. They know they got fellowship and communion with the Heavenly One. They want to run to somebody like that and get help when trouble comes. My goodness, the highest calling we could possibly find is intercession. Oh, our neighbors need it, Brother Billy. I thank you for asking prayer for your neighbors. I thank you for being a light at Clarence. I don't know how many people have told me about Brother Billy. They love to hear him sing. He's so sincere. Love to hear him talk. I thank you for your witness, but it's going to take prayer to keep that up. I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God for this little church. There's very few of them like it out there. I thank God for peace, but most of all, I thank God from a little boy. I heard people praying in these altars. I heard people praying through to the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just words. They started in the natural, then they broke over to the spiritual, and they brought spiritual life into people who were lost on their way to hell forever because they begged God. They begged God. They didn't command God. They didn't say it's God's will. They begged God until He answered. Thank God. None of us deserve to be here. None of us deserve to be here. But there's intercession brought us here. Glory, 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 glory. Don't you want to pray? If you don't want to pray, I'm praying you want to pray. I'm praying you want to pray so much that you can't hardly keep them midnight hours. You can't hardly miss them midnight hours. You can't hardly miss that. David said, when I meditate on thee in the night watches, it gets a hold of it. You say, Brother Allen, are you trying to get it where I can't sleep? I'm trying to get it where you're so close to heaven you don't need sleep. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I'm nobody, but He's somebody. I know what I'm talking about. I'm nothing, but He's everything. And oh, when He touches you, oh, when He touches me, and you get down in prayer, and you begin to feel the oil of anointing pour down you, you're going somewhere. When you feel Jesus Christ step into the room, and that power of God lead you deeper, you're going somewhere. Holy Ghost, we need revival. Jesus, we need the Holy Ghost revival. We need the power of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He done the miracles as we read in John 6. Brother preached to us about so well. But they left him in John 6:66. The Antichrist verse that walked away. Much of the church has walked away from this old way. Brother Tommy, that preacher wants this pulled, this altar out of here because this right here is the symbol of his death. He's got to pray, but not only that, he's got to get out and help others pray. I found out when I become a pastor that was a big deal right there. It wasn't too hard to get me prayed through, but it's my job to get down there and pray with them till they got through. That pastor wants that gone that doesn't have a right heart toward God. He wants that altar out of there. And you know, the evolution to the next pastor or so, be up there in a pair of shorts with a cup of coffee and a donut. No respect for the Word of God. And I'm telling you, I know there ain't nothing wrong with having a little eating or something like that. But when you come to that pulpit, that is God's place. You're supposed to be a representative of the Word of God flowing from heaven. There ain't a thing wrong with playing ball. Not one thing. But that's not the church's job on earth. Hallelujah. I'm going to hallelujah and back out. Spin my wheels while I'm doing it. Get back up on this other road. Thank you. Jesus, He's so wonderful. He flows through us. He meant for us to be like Him. He meant for prayer to take us to when we got up from praying. We looked more like Him. We acted more like Him. We felt more like Him. A young person full of the Holy Ghost can do many things. But I want to tell you, somebody full of the Holy Ghost can do many things. An old person full of the Holy Ghost can do a lot. A young person full of the Holy Ghost can do a lot for a lot longer. A man of God full of God has moved everything else out of the way. And he's happy whenever God uses whoever. And I thank God for an open pastor who will let real people come in, and he'll try and discern the spirits of those who are trying to come in that he doesn't know. There takes a guard on that door to make sure the sheep aren't wounded by some close doctor to turn them away. You know, when Jesus said that about the disciples wouldn't walk away because they would not hear this, it was a hard saying. They were really at one time his disciples. It tore them away. Jesus' words of the few making it was to the group who was trying to make it. He said, for many shall seek to enter therein and will not. He's talking about church people. Most church people are going to be lost. If I can't help you to prayer there, I don't think I can help you. If I can't stir you there, I'm not sure I can stir you. Most church people are going to be lost. But you don't have to be. You know, that's the amazing thing about knowing the truth. If you continue in it, then are you His disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It'll create you anew. It'll make you free. You'll be a new creature. And you'll be a free creature. You'll be free from these things. You ever notice when I first got saved, there was a big wind. This Arab was on TV blowing on people. I didn't notice because he needed some breath freshener. But that's what he's doing. There's all falling down and all that. I was caught up. Caught up. I even prayed to be his apprentice. I did. I sure did. I caught up. I got one of his books and he began to, in there he had that God was nine persons. I said, right there, that's something wrong with that. I didn't know enough about the Bible to rebuke that, but I knew in here there's something wrong with that. Wasn't long he flipped that collar backwards, and I thought there's something else backwards about you too, buddy. I didn't know the theology behind it, but now I do. And I want to tell you that inside here, that inner man began to scream at me, but I didn't have enough of the knowledge of the truth to understand the justification of it. All I knew is I didn't want no more of it. Listen to it, church. He loves you. When you feel that somebody's going wrong, don't just shove it aside and think about the multitudes chasing them or the miracles that you see or anything else, but go back to where you started from your root, where you were born again, and you'll grow out of that. Everything that's real grows out of that root, that seed of Christ, and it grows up into a likeness of Christ, not into a tree where birds come in and light and find a good haven, the fowls of the air, but up into a yielding fruit place of God Almighty. It comes out of that. Every true teaching of God comes out of what you were saved with. We are one creature in Christ. That's why the scriptures are of no private interpretation. You got the popcorn preacher, he's out there telling now that there is three heavens. You got a lower heaven for the saints that kind of sin just on three nights a week. You got another heaven for the saints that just sin once a month. Then you got this big old heaven where every sin that they committed, they repented of, and they got up there in that big heaven. There is no other heavens. There's heaven and hell, and if you don't make it to heaven, you're going to hell. But it takes prayer to beat that. I mean, this preacher's popular, and it will take prayer to overcome that. If you get popular, I get popular. We can get seated in with something that's not right. It takes prayer to overcome that. Prayer humbles your heart. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. I told you I'd get ugly before this is over. I'm talking about fasting. Oh, Brother Allen's not wanting us to eat. Oh, it'll humble your soul. Maybe you can't go without eating. And I'll say right now, I'll be the first one to say, don't you try. But I tell you what we can do, we can do without the TV a little bit. You know, I got a TV. And when there comes a storm, I flip that on. They got some pretty good weather on that thing. And I use it as a tool for my benefit. But I don't watch that adultery. Because I don't, not only do I know that it don't edify, I know adultery sin. So I don't watch that. I don't let my eyes sit there and watch that adultery. And if you do, you're vexing your righteous soul and you're opening up a place for the devil to come in. Pray. When you get down and you begin to pray, one of your children's in an accident. One of your children's got off and got down there and mixed up with some kind of bunch that's doing drugs. And you're praying with everything in you to try to get them out. You need a higher power because your children ain't going to listen to you when they get to a certain age. That's the nature. No matter how good that child is, when they get to that age, they are not going to listen to you. You're going to need something more powerful than wisdom and words. You're going to need prayer, a relationship in prayer to bring them out, to put a hedge around them, to put a hedge around their lives. Oh, church, we got a great church here that I know that Jesus can come and make it greater, make it more full. And I exhort you tonight to pray in the midnight hour, pray in the daytime, pray for your saints around you, pray one ye for another that you might be healed. We got problems one in another with different things, but if we'll get to love one another and pray for one another, there'll be a bond here. A threefold cord is not easily broken. And when you get Jesus on the scene, and you get the Holy Ghost on the scene, and you get the Father there, it's not going to break in heaven. But when you get the church behind you, it's not going to break in earth. And that gives you a witness here on earth of reality. Amen. You know, when someone comes to the altar and prays, I do not think they're lost. He's dead. When Dad comes to pray, I'm not thinking he's backslid. I get up there and pray. I pray for whatever he wants to come in him. So there's not a shame for riding this altar. It'd be better to ride it up than to ride that other down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. I can't tell you how much Jesus loves you. Let my prayer be as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Incense was commanded to be burned continually on the altar in the tabernacle. Let my prayer be burned continually before you. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Christ died as that evening sacrifice. Let my worship be crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Prayer is so wonderful. Prayer becomes such labor and travail in intercession and prevail for petition. But start with worship and fellowship. Begin to love Him. Didn't the Lord say, Our Father which in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is that? That's worship. That's love. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Then give yourself in petition.